You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Good evening and welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Darkness Radio, we're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. I appreciate you spending your weekends with us. And again, remember, if you can't listen live, check out the website at ktlkfm.com. You can find all of our podcasts going back to August 24th. If you want any of our older podcasts, check our website at darknessradio.com. And there you can also send news stories to Adrian if you have international news that you come across that you'd like him to talk about. You can just click on the news desk. There's also a link there to get in touch with Bree for national paranormal news. Even if there's stories that you're aware of that you'd like them to report on, feel free to get in touch with them there. You can reach out to Nicole if there's any movies that you recommend that she should watch, and she'll report on those for you. And there's book review section for Susan as well. So if you have some cool paranormal books, haunted books, any of the weird, cool sci-fi stuff that you want to hear reviewed, one of your favorite books you think the world should know about, then reach out and let everybody know about it on the site. We appreciate you taking the time to do that and be a part of it with us. Let me mention again, next week we will be joined by Robbie Thomas, the psychic. We're going to be working on three or four cold case files currently, that including the Jacob Wetterling case here in Minnesota. We're going to have Robbie try to weigh in on that. He was going to be with us tonight, but he's out filming, and he would not be available at the last minute, so he asked that we move it and bring him in next week, so he's going to be with us. And again, keep watching. We are going to have Jesse Marcel Jr. on the show with us here in the future. And Jesse Marcel Jr., of course, is the son of Jesse Marcel, who was one of the first government officials on site at the Roswell crash. And Jesse Marcel Jr. himself had quite a bit of experience in seeing the actual crash pieces. So you want to keep checking out the website for all of our upcoming shows and see what's going on. Also, check out all of our new events that we have going on, and talk check out about our Halloween party, because, Tim, that's coming up on us pretty quickly here.
Yeah, it is.
We have the Halloween party at the Sauk Center Haunted Palmer House Hotel. There are other hotels right in the area that you can stay at. We're going to ghost hunt. We're going to party. We're going to have a great time. So join us there. You can get all the information right off of our website. Right now, we're going to go back to our guest on the line, Walter Bosley. Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom is the name of the book. Mr. Bosley, how can people get a copy of this book?
Well, actually, it's you can read it for free as a PDF download, if you like.
Free.
I'm giving this book away.
Awesome.
And the easiest way I found to give it away to everybody on the Internet was the site lulu.com. When I sell books, I sell them like at Amazon and at bookstores and stuff. But if you want this one for free, go to lulu.com/lostcontinentlib, L-I-B, short for librarian, but that's lulu.com/lostcontinentlib. If you have trouble finding it that way, because it's a real convoluted web, little specific URL, just go to lulu.com and put in Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom, or Lost Continent Library, and it'll get you there. On my storefront page is the link that you click, and you get a free PDF download.
Great. Now let's. We got another call here from Doug, who's been patiently waiting online with us for about 15 minutes. Doug from Minneapolis, you have a question for our guest?
Well, I guess while I was waiting, I had a second one. But
okay, go ahead and feel free to throw them all out there.
Thank you kindly. I'm curious, now I am a layman on this, but I'm wondering if there's some connection here with string theory, as with this dimensional issues. Are you familiar with string theory as well, or
just basically enough to say that, you know, I agree with you. I've wondered that myself. To me, it would make sense if there's a grid that runs through a planet. Why wouldn't it be? Why would it not be connected to the grid that runs to all planets and throughout the universe, aka the string theory? I would think that there would be, and some of the evidence to that would be, extraterrestrial craft visiting. I mean, if you can tap into the ley line system of the Earth and use that to energize things, why not spacecraft?
We used to have, I was on a naval battleship, and we used to have these huge cables that went around the ship. and they were called demarcation cables. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, as you're going certain directions on in the Earth, you hit through lines of flux, mm-hmm. and that can make you very visible on a radar. So these mm-hmm. demarcation things, what they do is they make it so that you don't break the lines of flux. You end up just being like a bird on a wire. So I mean that's kind of where I was coming with that. But then as I was thinking while I was on hold, I've also taught martial arts, and forgive me if I seem impudent here, but is it responsible to, I don't know what you have in the book, because I obviously haven't read it before, and so please forgive me here. Like for me, if I have a student, there are certain moves that you can use that can really hurt somebody. Well, you don't just teach that to somebody that's brand new. You're not giving anybody any information that can say, open a portal, say somebody, some chucklehead is out there, I'm just going to open a portal and I'm going to do this. This isn't something that you're giving a how-to, am I correct?
I have no concern or worry, I should say. I'm not overly concerned or worried about that it's going to, you know, this kind of, this information that's in the book is going to get into the wrong hands. Because I'll tell you, most people, they read the book, they're going to be reading it, you know, for the ghost stories, and, okay. you know, it'll be a good, you know, good, interesting read. The people that really get what we're talking about here, they're the ones that are on a level that I don't think you'd be concerned about having the information. They're very likely going to be responsible. But you know what? What it comes down to it is I'm not the only one who knows this information. The information's out there, and, you know, we can't really control what others do. We can only control what we do. And the reason I wrote this book was because the information in it, I feel people need to be aware of, people need to know. Now, as a backstop for all that, for the concerns you bring up, we're talking about a device that works its own way. Just because you read the book and you know what's in there, the device was disengaged in 1982 when Fantasyland was redesigned. The carousel no longer sits on top of the intersection of the ley lines. What stands over the intersection of the ley lines now is the sword and the stone, the little sword and the stone that they have there.
That's almost ironic.
What's that?
That's almost ironic.
Well, it's actually, I believe, a symbol for a lock and key.
Right.
Also, it tells those who are in the know that here is where the intersection actually is.
That's just nifty. And I apologize if I sound like I was coming off like.
Oh, no, not at all, Doug. That's how we explore more of this, is asking the questions and having people like you be a part of the show and do that. Can you hold on, Doug? I'm going to let Tim take your information. We're going to get you out a copy of the book, The Hidden Records, okay?
I definitely appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much.
Have a great night.
Let me ask you this, Walter. Are there, you know, we hear about ley lines and the powers and the effect. Are there negative ley line and intersections, too, where you maybe don't want things to be built and, you know, which can actually drain or destroy businesses, destroy lives, you know, just have a much more negative connotation?
Well, I'm going to say no, because is there really such a thing as a wind that's evil or good and bad? The wind just is. Now, sometimes there are strong winds that can tear down houses and become tornadoes, but, you know, the wind itself is not some evil dark force that does that. It just is. It just happens. Now, the bad part is how we react to how it affects us and what we build, see? So we paste that morality on this element. That said, there are certain applications of the energy that flows through. There are certain applications to using these lines that are evil and wrong. In other words, can you, say, attack somebody with a blast of energy on one of these ley lines? According to Joseph Farrell, an author your listeners ought to look up and read. According to Joseph Farrell, author of The Secrets of the Unified Field, yes, you can send a form of, you know, plasma etheric energy down one of these ley line courses, aimed in a general way at a target farther down the line. So it comes back to, you know, the person using it. You know, it's kind of like a gun. It's, you know, sitting there on the shelf loaded. you know, it's not going to jump up and fire itself, folks. but if a person picks it up and aims it at somebody and shoots them, yeah, you're going to have a catastrophic result on, you know, the receiving end.
Now, let's talk about the device itself. It was the carousel is what you're referring to.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what exactly was the carousel? I mean, give us a little bit of background on this, and how did it work to open these portals?
Yeah, the park in its entirety was the full device, and the carousel was the operative element of it. By placing a spinning device directly atop the intersection of the ley lines, what C.V. Wood was accomplishing, in our opinion, in our theory, was a drawing of the energy from all these three lines and spreading it throughout the park. Now, the park was built, as I said before, in what was formerly 160 acres of orange grove property. And what they did was they cleared out those orange groves and they dug a bowl in the earth. And the bowl, if you look on a map of Disneyland, it's like an upside-down triangle with rounded corners. Okay, that's the shape of Disneyland itself.
Mm-hmm.
They built that bowl, sunk that bowl into the earth, and then they built a berm to make the edges even higher around this. And this is where they laid the track of the Disneyland Railroad, if you've ever ridden the train around the park. Now, it's interesting. There's a book called Needles of Stone by a guy named Tom Graves, and in his book he had done some experiments, and he discovered that you could build circles of stones and tap the center point, infuse it with, or you know, tap it with some energy, and that energy was measured going in the circles of stones going outward in a concentric kind of pattern.
Kind of like the ripples of a lake when you toss a rock into it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But it would go through the ground, and it would resonate in those circles of stones. And I think they did it in their experiments for up to 6 miles. It was just amazing. Well, the way C.V. Wood engineered Disneyland, it was designed down in this bowl. It kind of used the concepts of a gravity well. But what he did was, with this bowl and the berm and the way in which he constructed the park, the carousel would spin at the intersection of the ley lines. It would generate this energy throughout the park that would gather at the berm and just kind of form what would be called a standing scalar wave of energy, or layman's terms, a big force field bubble, if it were. So that when you'd go to Disneyland, you know, you'd go, no matter how old you were, it's like, wow, God, I just feel like a kid again. You know, you just forget the outside world. You just let yourself get lost in this world of Disneyland that, you know, Walt had created. And it would lend the idea, we believe, that on the very superficial level, it would lend to that experience.
Okay. So it was more about creating an energy field almost for this park.
So it's definitely, in order to get all of the results, you have to create that energy field. You have to tap into that ley line intersection energy, and you have to spread it out the way you do. Now, it's further enhanced and fine-tuned by how the subconscious then, which has recorded all the symbols and imagery, how it records all that and then computes it in conjunction with the energy, which is expanding your awareness of the spectrum of real space, real time. So the more in tune you are with that, the more of it you will see, and the more of it you may be able to move through.
All right. With that, we have to take our first break here in this last hour of the show. So stick with us. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Our guest again is Walter Bosley. He's the author of Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. And again, if you're interested in reading the book, he has it for free. Download PDF file by going to lulu.com. And there you can search for it under Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. And it is a free download, so check it out. It's an interesting book, an interesting read. We're going to be back with more. And if you have questions, you can give us a call. Tim is telling me we still have 8 copies of the book to give away. So for the next 8 callers, you give a call in, we're going to give you a copy of Wayne Herschel's book, The Hidden Records, which is an amazing book that will tell you all about our place in the universe. According to Wayne Herschel, all of the findings that he's had, and it's a pretty amazing lineup that he's been able to put together. So check it out. Give us a call. Tell Timmy D you want a copy of the book, and he'll get one out to you for the next 8 callers. We'll be back with more on Darkness Radio. Oh, Tim, this is pain in a whole new level.
one.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm getting creative tonight.
Is this a little Billy Joel for us?
Yeah, it is. The maestro Billy Joel.
Wow. Billy, stick with Piano Man, buddy. A little Disney music is not your forte, my friend. We are talking about the Magic Kingdom, perhaps the Maniacal Kingdom now. Now that we know that they had ulterior motives to their building of the park. The name of the book is Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. We're speaking to the author, Walter Bosley, on the line with us. And what I had questions in the chat room. Tugger from DRG wrote in and wanted to know, why was the ride disengaged in the 80s? Or did you say 90s? I apologize.
No, 1982.
Okay.
It was operable for 27 years between 1955 and 1982. Well, and I discuss that a little bit in the book, but basically it had to do with changes in general with the Disney company and, you know, directions that they wanted to go. The immediate reason was not inherently evil in itself. They gave a facelift to Fantasyland. Those of you my age and older remember Fantasyland looked a bit different than it has for the last 26 years. And, you know, they wanted to give it this nice textural, you know, old, like, European fairy tale feel. And it was a great move, as far as how the area looks and such. But part of that design was to shift some things around, and one of them was the carousel. They moved, they took out a lagoon with Captain Hook's ship, and they moved Dumbo back further, and they moved the carousel a little more central to what they had added. And that was the immediate superficial reason for it happening. Now, we kind of get into the idea that maybe we had reached a time when somebody didn't want the average person to have exposure to these different levels of awareness. So therefore, you know, hey, let's disengage this thing. That, you know, we could go on and get very conspiratorial about, but it was a conscious decision. There is a superficial reason for it, but there, you know, could have been, you know, another reason for it that has to do with control.
All right, we'll now talk about people love the clues, and they love to be able to look for the stuff when they're there. Can you tell us, I know in one of your chapters, Key to the Kingdom, you talk about the hermetical symbols that can be found around Fantasyland, especially associated with King Arthur's carousel. So can you give us some of the different clues people can keep an eye out for on their next trip?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. When you go to King Arthur's carousel, look for the faces that are on the carousel itself. You have, you know, the face of a jester, but then you also have this other face that, and I've had people look at it, you know, without preamble. I've said, hey, what is that face to you? Is it male? Is it female? And I've had just as many people say it was female as said male. And some of them have said, I can't tell. It looks like both. Well, in alchemy, there is the classic, the hermaphrodite. Now, what the alchemical hermaphrodite represents is the full conscious, okay, the male and female side of the psyche in unison, okay? And it's very interesting that, you know, you have what appears to be the hermaphroditic idea symbolized on the carousel itself. Now, also on the carousel, on the very top, you will notice a golden crown, okay? Now, I already mentioned that the sword and the stone is, as you enter Fantasyland through the castle, as it's intended to be entered through, you see, looking straight ahead, the carousel, and between you at the castle and the carousel, near the carousel, is the sword and the stone. Now, the crown, the sword, and the stone that the sword is in are three of the four symbols of the treasures of the Tuatha De Danann. Now, the Tuatha De Danann in ancient lore, fairy lore, and very ancient lore, they were a mysterious race that, when they were defeated, is believed they went off to an underground dimension, so to speak. And these treasures are associated with some of their legends and conquests in the past, but they are very much part and parcel of the whole magical world and in doing magical workings and alchemy specifically. And there you have it is the crown, the sword, the stone of destiny, the scepter, and there you have the crown, the sword, the stone of destiny right there at the carousel. And you've got the alchemical hermaphrodite on the carousel itself. Also on the carousel are these shields with a double key symbol. Now, the double key symbol has long been an alchemical symbol for meaning, you know, that which is hidden. And there are figures, for instance, in the Vatican, the Pope, or one of the symbols of his office is, you know, a double key. I believe it's in a different configuration, but with the Pope, it symbols that he holds the keys to some type of secret, you know, secret knowledge and such. But that's an alchemical symbol. Before the Catholics got a hold of it, before it was used for the Pope, it was an alchemical symbol. And it's on the shields of the carousel itself. It's on a couple of shields, if you'll pay attention. Also, the number's 12. The carousel has 12 stanchions or poles around it. And I argue, we argued in the book that these poles served as capacitors. As the carousel was spinning when it was over the intersection of the ley lines, the poles would, you know, work as capacitors, you know, would build it up, and the way the device continues to work, it, you know, then spreads out more more powerfully. And you've got the symbol of the 12, and 12 is an important number. You've got 12 signs of the zodiac. You've got the 12 disciples of Jesus. And 12, when you study your alchemy, is an important alchemical number. The zodiac itself, you walk into Disneyland or Fantasyland, you look up to your left, and there's a clock, a European clock, and it's marked with each hour with the signs of the zodiac. We're familiar with the signs of the zodiac, but these are important in alchemy. And that's the thing about all these signs is we are familiar with the sword and the stone from the King Arthur story. What most people may not be familiar with are it is the alchemical symbology embedded within the Arthur story. Mm. And that's just a few of the examples of the, for instance, you go there to Fantasyland, you look on the Snow White ride, you see a gargoyle that is a crow. Now, the crow has long been the very symbol of alchemy, because in alchemy, at some point in any alchemical working, at some point, it's not the same for every working, but at some point, all the elements turn black as the process is going. Now, I'm talking, you know, chemical. Right. Alchemical here, chemistry. Everything turns black at some point, so therefore that's the crow. Look it up. The crow has long been the symbol of alchemy, and there's the crow sitting on an eave looking down at the carousel. Now here's some more alchemy and hermetic symbolism for you. The carousel started out symbolizing combat, okay? So the carousel in itself is a symbol of war and combat. And the crows used to sit and wait for the battle to end so that then they could go get the pickings.
Sure.
And the idea of the crow watching the combat to then pick what's, you know, from the dead, this was adopted by alchemists to symbolize another portion of their workings. And there it is in Disneyland, the crow up on its perch, looking down at the carousel, the symbol of combat, waiting. And what that symbolizes is the spirit of whatever's in that crow or whoever's in that crow watching for the person who gets off the carousel who the device perhaps has done its work on.
We have to take our break here at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We're talking with Walter Bosley about his book, Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. Again, you can get a free copy of that book in PDF form by going to lulu.com and type in Latitude 33. It should take you to the page. You can find it there and download the book. We'll be back with more. And if you have questions for our guest, again, give us a call. Tim, have we given away all the books?
Given away all the Wayne Herschel books. We still have the ebook of UFO on tape.
Okay, and that'll be given out tomorrow, too, as well.
Oh,
so
all right.
We'll be doing those. So all books are gone for this evening. stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow with some new ebooks that you guys will be able to get as well. We'll be back with more, though, tonight. Hey, why don't you come out on October 20th at 7 p.m.? You can join Tim and I at the Rock Nightclub. They're going to be hosting the Minneapolis Indie Horror Fest 2008. They're featuring three horrifying full-length features from Minnesota's finest. General admission for 18 and up is just $10. 21 and up, $8. If you come in costume and win, you can win new releases from Warner Brothers Home Videos, tattoos, comics, magazines, concert tickets, and more. They're also going to be featuring shorts from Transylvania TV. There's teddy scares and zombie tofu. It's going to be a great time. Tim and I will have a table out there, and I think Adrian is going to join us. Maybe we can even drag in the lovely Nicole. She can spend a little time with us at the table. So come on out, meet with us again at 2029 Woodland Avenue, Maplewood, Minnesota. That's going to take place on October 20th at 7 p.m. For ticket information and for box office inquiries, call 651-770-7822, 651-770-7822. And Tim, why don't we go ahead and give away a couple of these? We'll give away five passes to the Healthy Life Expo that's coming up on October 18th and 19th. You'll be able to come out and hang out with Dave, Tim, and Adrian. There are five single passes. Each pass is good for one person to come on in to the Healthy Life Expo. You get to see some of the best in holistic healers, a lot of great speakers, a lot of cool stuff. And one of the topics is holistic health in jeopardy. So I hope you will join us. For more information about that event, go to MediaMaxEvents.com, MediaMaxEvents.com. And if you want, we have five passes to give away for the Healthy Life Expo. Tim will take those calls right now. We're going to go back to our guest. Our guest again, Walter Bosley, and along with his friend Greg Bishop, they've written a book called Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom, an investigation into the arcane science of hermetic engineering of Disneyland. And Walter, we have another call online. You mind if we take this one real quick?
There's a Hall of Famer, Christy.
Wow, that's crazy, Tim. Disney's taking over our panel. Did you hear that?
Yeah, they don't want this out.
I know that. Hold on one second. We're going to take this call. We've got Becky from St. Paul on the line. Becky, you had a strange experience at Disneyland as well?
Yes, good evening, or good morning, gentlemen. I took my family to Disneyland back in 1970, and we went on every single ride, just and some of them twice, you know, and came to the carousel, and it was like it wanted me to ride it, but I couldn't. I felt if I was going to get on that thing, I would die. I just was not. It was really the strangest feeling I've ever had.
Wow. Now, have you heard about that? I mean, has there been a negative influence on people, Walter, that have been around the ride as well?
I've never heard that before. I'd be interested in learning more details. But what's interesting about that to me is obviously she was having some sort of reaction to what she was intuitively or subconsciously picking up, and maybe what's your background on your attitude towards things like the paranormal and the occult?
Well, I have what I call death dreams.
Okay.
And I will dream an initial or a number or something like that, and I will have this hooded figure appears, and it like kind of transmits these thoughts to my head.
Uh-huh. Well, but
a few days later or a month later, someone with those initials will die.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've always been afraid to tell this to people before.
So you do have a working background. You do believe in the paranormal as well, as what Walter wants to know,
well,
right?
Well, I guess I do.
Now at the time, you said this was what year in the 70s?
1970.
How old were you?
I was 30.
Okay. And your upbringing, did you have an upbringing where at that time you would have, felt a reflexive rejection of anything weird or strange, or
no.
Were you open to it?
No, uh-uh. I've had, when I was a child, I used to have dreams. They were precognitive dreams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my family moved from Missouri to Denver, and before we moved, I had this dream of the house and the street that we were going to live on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was perfect. It was just a perfect description.
Now, where was that house that you were going to move to from Denver?
No, we were moving from Missouri to Denver.
Okay, where were you living in Missouri at the time?
St. Louis.
St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on just a second. I'm going to grab my map of ley lines because I have an idea what might have been going on here.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
See, you learn something new listening to shows like this, don't you, Becky?
Wow.
See?
I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of anything like ley lines, and I'm having a hard time understanding just what the significance is with...
okay, so St. Louis, Missouri, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and you were moving to Denver specifically?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's a little bit north of Denver. It was Westminster.
Okay. How near, what was the highway it was near?
The house that we moved?
Yeah, the one mm-hmm. in Denver. Now, you said the name of the city was what? It's north of Denver and it was...
Westminster?
Westminster, Colorado, yeah.
Okay, on the map I have, I don't go that deep. How far north, as north as, say, Fort Collins?
Well, it was kind of in between.
Okay, but due north of Denver?
Yeah.
Okay, due north. Now, here's what's interesting. The map I have of ley lines of the United States, of North America, there is a major line going right through St. Louis. There is also one that goes north-south through Denver. Now, it's very possible that you were living in St. Louis and you had this precognitive experience because your consciousness was tapping into or was affected by the ley line system, and because all these are in one way or another connected, that's how you were getting precognitive images, visions of this new residence north of Denver, because both places are on ley lines. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you were to say that you lived in Fort Morgan, okay, uh-huh. I would say, well, no, there's no line going through there. If you said that you had moved to Boulder or I'm looking on the map, or looks like Longmont or something, I would say, well, there's no line there. But you're saying that you were pretty much due north of Denver, between Fort Collins and Denver. There is a line going right through there. Now, in St. Louis, where were you living?
We lived in Jefferson Barracks.
Okay. Now, in relation to the city...
It's south of the city.
South of the city?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the line that goes through that goes from the north in a southeastern direction. So it would depend on how many miles out of downtown St. Louis on the map you actually were. You might have been close enough, you know, to the line in St. Louis to support what I'm theorizing here. Now, I'm saying that this is possible. I'm not telling you this happened, but what I am saying is what I have learned about these ley lines and these mascons are that's very interesting and makes a lot of sense to me that you had this experience, and it related to your position relative to these ley lines.
So do these ley lines, do they affect people who have, like...
sensitivities and
yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, absolutely they would, because, you know, people who have these sensitivities and abilities, you know, they're just more aware. I'm a great believer in we all have these abilities, but some are just more aware of them than others. Many are afraid because of what they've, quite frankly, been taught in church, or they just, you know, totally disregard them because of what they've been taught in school.
Well, Walter, I'm just curious with what Becky experienced, too. Couldn't it have something to do with the fact that if you've got basically a turning key, right, she's near the carousel, the carousel's going around, it's creating this dimensional portal, it's creating this sensation, whatever... If she's a sensitive anyway, does it have to even be something that, or, you know, even a little sensitive, does it necessarily have to be that it was because she came from either of those locations? Couldn't it just have something to do with, you know, time of the month, magnetic pole, thing. Well, I know that sounds funny, but we found actually in a lot of paranormal investigations that sometimes things are heightened around the time that women experience menstrual cycles, and they're able to be more sensitive and see or hear things.
Well, it was like the carousel was drawing me, but I had to, there was a fear that made me resist it. It was just so weird.
The carousel was enhancing what you had naturally. The carousel would enhance what you were going through. If you were more psychically sensitive than the people around you, than the average person, that's going to manifest in you what it's going to manifest no matter where you are. Now, your proximity to the lines is going to, you know, greatly, you know, it's going to enhance what you are going to experience anyway. And then when you've got a device like the Disneyland device operating right there next to you on the intersection of three ley lines, well, it's going to be exponential, the influence the of the enhancement. So,
wow.
You know, you brought with you what you had, what you possessed already. I argue that the device enhanced. And there was something, I don't know, you were picking up something that scared you. Now,
well, it could also be, don't you think, and we have to throw it a break here in a second, but people can be reverse polarized, right? You can change the polarity of your own energy fields. Couldn't it just be that she was drawn to it because of the basic call of this this key what it was doing?
Something, an anecdotal story when I was researching the book.
Becky, thanks a lot for calling. I'm going to put you on hold if you'd like. I can, Tim can give you a free ticket out to the Healthy Life Expo if you'd like to join us, okay?
Thank you
all right.
so much.
Thank you, Becky. Hold on. All right, go ahead, Walter.
I was just going to say that in the research for this book, the day we chose to go to Disneyland, at a certain time of the evening, we went over to the carousel, and for about... Wow, a few hours, even into after leaving, I just suddenly, you know, felt exhausted and run down. And the next day, you know, I woke up with a headache and such and a neck ache and such. And we found out that at the time we were riding the carousel, and this is not even, it's not even, the device is not even plugged in anymore. The carousel is not even in that position, but we were there in the vicinity of the triple intersection. It was when Korea, if you remember, a couple of years back, had done one of their nuclear tests, underground tests, okay?
Right.
And, yeah, this definitely will, you know, send, you know, little extra, it'll register on the ley line system is what I'm saying. In fact, you know, I'm one of those who believe that, you know, Nikola Tesla knew this. Nikola Tesla invented an earthquake machine. I believe Tesla technology can be and probably has been applied to create what I would call an earthquake weapon.
All right, we have to take our break here, Walter. Bear with us. We've got one more little segment to come back to. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. We're entering the final segment for this evening's show. Hopefully you'll join us again tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about alien secrets. It's an interesting show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about how you can videotape UFOs, and we'll be talking about alien-human hybridization, Tim.
Been there, done that, drunken college days again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So check out tomorrow night's show. It's really interesting. Going to be a lot of fun stuff. Plus, we're going to be joined by our national news correspondent, Bree Sanders, and, of course, a new book review by Susan Cummins. We hope that you'll be a part of this with us. And, again, we're going to go back to our guest, Walter Bosley, talking about Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. I'm just curious, Walter, do you still have your map handy with the ley lines?
Yes, I do.
In Colorado, where do you see Estes Park, Colorado? Is there any kind of crazy ley lines that happen to go through there? That's where the Stanley Hotel is.
Okay, now, what city is that in? Because my map is a United States map, the one I'm looking at, so it may not have...
Estes Park, Colorado is its own city, and it's... Tim, do you remember, is that, north, south, east, west from Denver?
North.
North from Denver?
Yeah.
And what's the other town it's close to? Because it's like where South Park is fictionally placed, right? Is that Colorado Springs?
It's 45 minutes away from Boulder, but I think Boulder is south and west of... Or no, directly south. It may be north and west that Estes Park is from Denver.
Okay, so Estes Park, we believe, is about northwest from Denver.
Northwest from Denver. Is it in the vicinity of, Hot Sulphur Springs?
I don't know. It's smack dab in the middle of the mountains.
Yeah, I'm not real sure with that.
Okay, so I see Boulder here. Now, where in relation to Boulder is it?
Go north from there.
North
about 45 miles.
Boulder.
Yeah, about 45 miles north from Boulder.
From Boulder. Yeah, no, it the major line that goes through north and south actually follows Highway 25. When you're on Highway 25 out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, you're following straight into Denver on the line. So it's a little bit west, but remember, there is some spillover effect, and there would naturally be, you know, smaller tributaries, so to speak, you know, off of these main lines. But it's pretty much been found that the most startling evidence or synchronicities of evidence and such tend to happen on the lines. But there certainly could be some spillover, because where you're talking about is actually between two of the main lines. The other one comes out, it follows the Continental Divide right down into Colorado and continues southeast between Steamboat Springs and Walden and right on through Hot Sulphur Springs and west of Idaho Springs and Mount Evans, you know, going past Denver, going down into Colorado Springs. The ley lines, the major intersection in Colorado of ley lines is in Colorado Springs, and you have three.
Wow, three. That might be an interesting, because the Estes Park, the Stanley Hotel, is like one of the most haunted hotels. It's just crazy activity. But Tim, you said we have a question from the chat room?
Yeah, in relation to ley lines, George from Daytona wants to know if crop circles tend to be located on ley lines, or are they random?
I haven't studied England. In fact, we, as you read in the book, the gentleman who is associated with the Alfred I met at Disneyland is the man named Alfred Watkins, who is credited with discovering this ley line system. His original book, The Old Straight Track, would very possibly identify the areas in England which then you could coordinate with where the crop circles are. That speaks to the ones in England. Now, the other crop circles, I haven't done that analysis yet. That would be an interesting angle, of course, with the information I have.
Right, and especially, now have you checked, what about the area for Disney World in Florida? I mean, you've got NASA right near there, you've got Cape Canaveral, you've got Disney World. Do you feel that they picked that location as well because of that? And I would think those are kind of...
Well, what's interesting is the carousel there is also on the intersection of ley lines. So it looks like, now Walt was dead by the time they started building Disney World, but mm-hmm. it looks like it would appear that they used the same principles that were used in building Disneyland on Disney World, because it cannot be an accident that the carousel at Disney World is on the intersection of ley lines as it was at Disneyland. I don't believe that's an accident.
Where do you feel, have you done this research at all, where do you feel is one of the most powerful ley line intersections in the world? Have you done any background research on that?
Well,
and does it coincide?
One of them we're talking about is the one in Southern California, the one in Colorado Springs, absolutely, because, you know, Tesla put his lab there, mm-hmm. and he certainly knew about these ley lines and how to manipulate the energy. He had his lab there, and what's interesting is subsequently the U.S. government then puts, you know, a major Air Force installation there, and there are U.S. labs, DOD labs, you know, located in the Colorado Springs vicinity. That right there is testament towards how powerful that one in Colorado Springs actually is. This book, since we focused on Disneyland, I am currently and have been currently in research for the past over a year of the subjects of these very questions that, you know, you're asking now about, you know, other places in the world, the specifics. We know what is in the 30 to 40 degree range, and we know what's at, you know, the basic biggies that are at, you know, 33rd degree of latitude in other places of the world, but we're just now digging into the details of that. And as I said, the Sesheri book, Handprint of Atlas, is the one you really want to read for further information.
Great. Because, and as you update with your new books, I hope you'll come back and spend some more time with us and sure. Let us know what you find. Thank you very much for spending your evening with us, Mr. Bosley.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate having you here and being a part of the show, and we appreciate all of you out there listening and spending the night with us, being on the show as well, and talking about the strangeness that is Disneyland and the different hermetic involvement. This is interesting, different off the topic. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. We're going to be back tomorrow talking about alien conspiracies, talking about how to film UFOs and the alien-human hybridization. Is it really going on? We're going to find out, and some of the answers may disturb you. We hope to hear from you tomorrow night. You're listening to Darkness Radio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.